And good morning. Welcome to a program called Health Essentials. You don't really have to be a genius to figure out there are things that one must do in order to be healthy and strong. I think I was reading about 2 or 3 months ago studies about at what point in time does a body start to break down. So, I mean, I've read so many times that the moment you're born, your body begins to break down, but kids are just so resilient and they're growing a brand new body. I don't know that I really want to focus on that so much, but what I'd rather focus on is there's going to come a point in your adult life where it becomes increasingly harder to heal and repair. So what I thought I would do this morning is just kind of narrow my focus, you know, just narrow it down just to a teeny, teeny, tiny focus. So today, I'm only going to talk or be speaking to people that are broken. Those that have been injured. Maybe you have been in an accident. It's done damage to your body. Or maybe those that are about to have surgery. Well, they're broken. Or you've had surgery and you're not right after surgery. There's a whole lot of that going on. Basically, those that have been hurt and those that are about to be hurt, which is what it means to be a human. So, if I narrow all this down, who's this really apply to? Well, just those people that are listening right now, like 100% of them. If you're alive, if you're breathing, if you're living on planet Earth, then you're broken. Okay, I looked it up a while ago. What is the absolute most difficult tendon injury to heal from? Well, that would be if you have done damage to the Achilles tendon. That's the tendon that attaches your calf muscle to your heel bone. If you have that, then you can walk, and you can run and jog and move and walk up and down steps. You could jump over a creek, you could hop over a fence, you could climb a tree if you have your Achilles tendon intact. But it literally takes longer to heal than in any other. So, I don't mind telling you why I'm thinking about this. I'm really thinking about a woman that I go to church with who has a problem with her tendons. That's probably all I need to say right now. I'm not going to name names. But sometimes people just don't know what to do, and they don't have any clue about how they can help themselves because maybe no one has told them. Maybe they've been to a healthcare expert or a medical professional, but they've never mapped out some type of a plan, as in, these are the things you need to be careful about. This is what I want you to focus your attention on, or you want your tendons to heal, maybe you should consider this. So I looked it up, and lo and behold, I came across a study. Now, the study's not big. It was just 18 individuals. But to me, I love the results that I'm seeing. Okay. Now, in this particular study, they were looking at athletes. You know, you may not consider you're an athlete, but don't you like the idea of being able to command your body to do what you want? If you tell your legs and your feet and your arms that you want to go for a 3-mile walk, well, I hope that your body can obey you and serve you. Of course, maybe a non-athlete is somebody that has zero expectations for their body. They just say, I think I'll do the bare minimum. There's plenty of those. That's not what my focus is. My focus is on people that want to use their body. I was in the restroom the other day, and a man said to me, he said something. We were talking about being useful. You know, folks, you can be just as useful as you want to be. You can set your mind that you want to be used up while you're on this planet. And the flip side of the coin is it possible that you could live a life where you don't want to be used? Yeah, of course there is. So here's a study that's talking about collagen. And I'm trying to think if I have the copy of the title here. No, I don't know that I do. But the title that I'm going to use is, collagen supplementation accelerates tendon injury healing in athletes. How about I call it that? And this was done in Australia. It was a small human study, and so here it is. The Australians divided 18 runners with an injured Achilles tendon into two groups. Now, you got to bear in mind here, it takes a long time for Achilles, you know, tears to heal. It does. Are you with me on that? And so both of these groups, the ones that took collagen and the ones that didn't, they gave them exercises that they knew would be in their best interest to accelerate the healing of the injured Achilles tendon. Are you with me on that? Maybe that's your first takeaway. There are exercises that you can do to help yourself. Now, if the tendon is in the elbow, or the tendon's in the wrist, or the hand, or how about I just say the shoulder, the rotator cuff tendonitis, I see those all the time. Or if you have hip tendonitis or knees, there's some tendons there. So it's the same principle. So they actually did very specific exercises so they could benefit from it and actually heal. How about that concept? When you're injured, you need to do specific exercises to help your body heal. How about that? Okay. What this meant was that these runners, they did what were called eccentric exercises twice a day with their injured lower leg. So the leg was injured, there was damage to the Achilles tendon, but they did exercises anyway. That may be something that would escape other people, but it doesn't escape me or you. Because you always realize, at every point in your life, there's something you can do to help yourself. All is not lost. There's still hope. You can do something. So just kind of set your mind. I wonder, what if you were a curious person that said, now that I'm injured, I'm wondering what I can do to help myself, instead of, woe is me, I'll never walk again. So what they did was, and I'm being direct with you here, I did not look up exactly what the exercise was that they did, but if you want me to look it up, I could look it up and I could figure it out. But listen to this right here. The runners did eccentric exercises twice a day with their injured leg. Are you with me on that? What if you've injured your lower back? Well, you could do exercises on your injured lower back twice a day, couldn't you? Here's what they did. They lowered the leg, the injured leg, 90 times in a row. One time with a stretched knee, the other with a bent knee. So I think they kept alternating back and forth. So even though I can't exactly describe what the exercise was they did, but once they started, they did it 90 times. Okay? This whole study does not say they did nothing. No, they did something. They did a prescribed exercise that would encourage the tendon to heal. Okay, are you with me on that? I may be going overboard on that, but I can tell you right now from talking to a whole bunch of people, that's like a whole new idea. There's a lot of people that think if they have an injury on the job, what they should do first is the only exercise they're interested in is going and collecting workers' comp. And then they want to go for disability. Yes, I'm not trying to complain this morning, but there is no lack of people that have injuries, and their first focus is, what can I do to be on disability the rest of my life? I'm 40 years old, but obviously I like staying at home. I don't want to work. Anyway, enough of that. So the way that they would judge this is, they were just trying to find out how quickly could the tendons heal before one of these runners could get back to running again, okay? So here's how they did the study right here. In the first 3 months, one group, which was maybe 9 individuals, they received a dose of 2.5 grams of hydrolyzed collagen peptide 2 times a day. I'm just going to simplify that and say, that's about 1 teaspoon a day of hydrolyzed collagen. I think the term hydrolyzed means it readily dissolves or stirs directly into water. I don't even know how many people over the years that I've heard say, can I add collagen to my coffee? Of course you can. Can I add collagen to my tea? Of course you can. Can I put it in my Diet Dr. Pepper? Of course you can't. I don't want you to destroy yourself. That's my way of saying if you drink Diet Dr. Pepper or Diet Coke, you're just destroying yourself. It's a different conversation. If you drink green tea, you're telling your body, I love you. If you drink water, you're saying, I love and respect my cells. But when you drink Diet Coke, you're saying, I want to destroy myself. That's what's going on there. So 1 teaspoon a day of hydrolyzed collagen for these people that had damaged Achilles tendons. Now, that's all it was. A teaspoon. How hard is that? What would prevent you from trying to get your injured body back in good repair? I don't think this has to be a very, very deep conversation. You don't actually have to be a top neurologist or a top brain surgeon or the world's greatest heart surgeon to figure this out. You could just say to yourself, I wonder if there's something that I could take that would actually help my tendons heal faster. If you were going to build a house, could you do it without concrete and sheetrock and 2x4s and shingles and nails? No. It's just basic understanding that you've got to have certain building materials if you want your body to be in good working order. That may not even be the greatest analogy about building a shed in the backyard today. Well, how are you going to do it without the raw materials? I would say, good luck. It ain't going to happen. So a teaspoon a day, that's all they did. And so what they did was the other group, they just gave them a placebo. That means they gave them something that didn't have any potential to heal the body in it. And so the initial collagen group, now you can't see the chart that I'm looking at, but I'm just going to cut to the chase and I'm going to tell you, it takes a long time for the Achilles tendon to heal. It's either going to heal correctly, it's going to heal right, or it ain't going to heal right. Who wants to have a lot of wicked, evil scar tissue that doesn't work right, that just causes continual pain and inflammation, and it keeps you from moving? You want to talk about a way to destroy a person's health? Just injure the Achilles tendon where they can't walk again. Oh, my goodness. This study lasted 6 months, but here's the chart right here. They have a graph on here that shows people that took, the men or the women that took collagen. At the end of 3 months, 6 out of 9 runners were back to running again. That did not happen in the control or the placebo group. So then they switched it around. They put the ones that took the collagen, they took them off of it, and they gave them a placebo for 3 more months because the total study lasted for 6 months. And then they asked, we're going to give the placebo group. You know, the first 3 months, it didn't get anything. We're going to give them collagen now. All of a sudden, they were able, 7 of the placebo group were able to start running again. Now, I realize there's a lot of variabilities or a lot of moving parts. Not every injury is the same. What if you have a person that has a 90% tear and one that just has a 10% tear? And, you know, 10% tear is going to heal a lot easier. What I did was, before I came on the air just now, I just looked up, and of course, you know what? Don't you want me to cover this information for you? I looked up, what are the drugs that cause the highest number of tendon injuries? So if you're listening to me right now, you know, this very moment, and you say, why can't my shoulder get well? What's wrong with my shoulder? I can't lift it. My rotator cuff tendons are damaged. I've got tendonitis. Or why do I have such severe chronic knee pain that never goes away? Or why do my feet hurt all the time? Or why is my back in bad repair? Well, I'm just going to cover the top, you know, 5 drugs that have been shown in study after study after study to wreck your tendons. Now, maybe I'm biased about this, but I'm biased because I've seen a lot of people destroyed with these very drugs. I don't want anyone to suffer needlessly. There's no reason for it. If you're taking Cipro or Levaquin, which is an antibiotic, well, then Katie, bar the door. You're probably going to have an injured tendon. Yeah, I think that drug right there has been more responsible for ruptures of thumb and finger tendons than any other that I know of. Look it up for yourself. Type into the computer, can Cipro cause one of my tendons in my body to dissolve and rupture? The answer is yes. The other class of drugs that's very famous for contributing to your tendons becoming injured would be corticosteroids. Is anybody out there listening? Have you ever heard of prednisone therapy before? Well, you can't be shocked or surprised. And you know, I've done this hundreds of times. I'll turn to the person and say, did your physician or pharmacist ever warn you that you would be at a high risk of having a tendon become damaged in your shoulder or your knee or your ankle or your back? And every time the answer is no. Well, to me, you got to give full disclosure to people. If a drug dealer says this is contains substantial amounts of fentanyl and if you take it, you could die. No, they don't give full disclosure. Isn't it my job? I know what my job is. I'm always supposed to do what's in your best interest, whether I like it or not. I'm supposed to tell you what's in your best interest. Yeah, I know for a fact a lot of people don't like that, but sometimes I have to look a person in the eye and just say, you're drinking endless amounts of Coca-Cola. You're just destroying yourself. Don't you want to have a great life? Anyway, so prednisone, steroids, they can cause it. The next class of drugs, it's famous for wrecking your muscles and your tendons. Those are called statins. You may not have ever heard of those drugs before. They're not actually very common. They're very rare. I'm just joking. That's not true. They're probably one of the most common prescription drugs on the planet. And at every turn, they're touted by every physician on the planet as the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's called a statin. This is a drug that would change your cholesterol levels. Now, if you want to look up how it does that, you need to do your own research. But one of the side effects of taking a cholesterol-lowering drug is it could actually harm your tendons. So ask yourself the question right now. Did I start having major pain in a joint only after I took Cipro? Or did my problems only begin after I started taking prednisone or steroids or cortisone? Or number next, did I only begin to have pain in my legs and knees and feet and hands and arms only after I started taking simvastatin or Zocor or Vytorin, any type of a statin? Okay, the other class of drugs that I was able to look up, they're called aromatase inhibitors, and this would probably be women that have had a hormone positive breast cancer. They give them drugs like Arimidex. Okay, all right. Maybe as just a side note, if you go to sleep at night and you're basically pain free, but you wake up in the night with pain, either in your knees or your hips or your legs. How about the shoulders? Well, that's pretty classic of tendonitis because tendons, they don't really have a great blood supply. You've got to be able to move and get motion. That way you can pump and move fluids and wash them clean and deliver oxygen and nutrients. So tendons themselves, there's a lot of them, they just don't have a blood supply. The only way they get nutrients is through motion and through movement. Okay, now maybe is a little bit different line of thinking right here. The two vitamins, or maybe the three vitamins that I can find in the medical studies over and over and over, if somebody has a B12 deficiency, then they can't seem to get collagen to grow back together again to mend a damaged tissue. So theoretically, and so what would be an individual that would have a B12 deficiency? Well, pretty straightforward. Every time that you're under general anesthesia has been shown, and I don't know the mechanism. I find it interesting, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to say it's just a fact. I don't really understand the mechanism perfectly, but when you're under general anesthesia for a surgical procedure, it literally destroys the vitamin B12. That's one of the working theories from anesthesiologists on why maybe people don't remember anything during anesthesia, because it destroys your vitamin B12. And so, yeah, I don't want to get overly sidetracked, but you got to have B12 for proper formation of memories, for short-term and long-term memory. If you want your brain to be in good working order, yes, you got to have B12. And so if you have a lack of B12, you just can't quite get the tendons or the ligaments or the muscles to heal. Just consider that. So what if a person's had humpteen surgeries, or maybe, I don't know, what's a world record on the number of people that have had, I mean, who's got the Guinness Book of World Records for surgeries? Well, I don't know. I have a few guesses, but I don't. But if you've had a whole bunch of surgeries, it may be that you're severely deficient in vitamin B12. Now, it doesn't matter if you think you're good with B12. Why don't you just get a blood test and find out? So another vitamin that's been shown to really, really prevent tendons from healing is vitamin D3. So if you have a rotator cuff injury and you want it to get in good repair, well, why don't you just prayerfully consider consuming either vitamin C or vitamin B12 or vitamin D3, or do what I'm talking about this morning. Why don't you do the very same thing that these athletes and these runners did to get their tendons back in good working order? Take you some hydrolyzed collagen, okay? Or sometimes it's called hydrolyzed collagen peptide. Anyway, I don't know if there's much more that I want to say about that. Oh, I know this sounds simple, but they just asked the question, when did the runner start to run again? Well, when the tendon was healed, then they could. And so the beautiful thing about the study is, whether you start taking hydrolyzed collagen soon after the injury, or if you take the hydrolyzed collagen well after the injury, in this case it was 3 months later, both of them, I mean, on this graph, I think it's pretty impressive. I mean, statistically, to me, it's very impressive that you could actually help a chronic injury heal. So if you have chronic tendonitis of the shoulder, maybe you should consider these things. Does that make sense? Okay. Somebody's wanting to call. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'd like to pick on your brain this morning.
Go for it.
Okay, I need to, how can I start? Do you know how to treat inner ear imbalance?
Well, what do you mean? Tell me what you mean by that.
Like a buzzing continually in both ears, and then leads to dizziness, serious dizziness, and then vomiting.
Who is this?
Me.
Do you think your body's in good repair?
No.
I think that's the most brilliant thing you can say. So you've come to terms with things aren't working well. Maybe I should do something to help myself or do something different. So I think we got off to a good start here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me give you two or three ideas, and I may not go exactly in the format that you're hoping for, but let me take a stab at this. There is a type of food that's available. It's called almonds. Or if you don't have almonds, there's almond milk. You ever heard of that?
Yes, sir.
Do you know anybody that consumes spinach, nuts, almonds, or white potatoes?
No, necessarily.
So do you consume stevia?
No.
Okay. The reason I said that is because all of those are very high concentrated sources of what's called calcium oxalate. Sometimes it's referred to as oxalic acid. But the main issue is oxalic acid can build up in what's called the semicircular canals of the inner ear. And you have these little bitty cilia hair-like projections. I'm looking at them inside of my mind right now. But these hair-like projections, that's the equivalent of your gyroscope. It tells you what your position is in gravity. So you can tell I'm up, I'm down, I have good balance. And so that would be one thing that I would look at. So there's a simple procedure called the half somersault procedure. So if you were to go to YouTube and type in half somersault procedure for vertigo, dizziness, imbalance, I think that's worth your time to look at, because that may provide you a way out of this, called healing. Are you with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, number two. I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Proprioceptors are specialized nerves in your feet, and they play one of the greatest roles of all time in helping to maintain balance. So let me tell you what I'm thinking of. I came across an article. I should have copied it. I did not copy it. I just said, that's Roy. That's easy to remember. Why would you want to have one more stack of papers that you could trip over? Because I'm bad about that. I mean, y'all don't know this, but I'm bad about buying books and copying articles and reading. But sometimes it's a little bit too much. I just got to throw some stuff away occasionally. But in this particular article, they took elderly people that had very, very poor balance. And so I did not read the entire article, so I don't know how many times the word dizziness was used or how many times they fell or if they were weak. So I don't know that. But I know what the punchline is. They took one of those very small foot massaging balls, and I think there's one that I like. There's a brand name called Giam, Giam. Okay. I may have misspelled it. I'm so sorry. Let me write it down here. Yeah, I think it's Giam. Anyway, it's a small exercise ball. You can either get them made of hard plastic with little bitty spikes on them, or this one is like a firmer rubber one with bumps on it. But in this study, all they had people do that had very bad balance was just put the ball on the floor, whether it's a carpet or a wood floor or concrete, doesn't matter to me at all, and they would just roll the arch of their foot side to side, up and down in circles. But whether you understand or not, you're stimulating the healing and the repair of the nerves in the bottom of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is my opinion also. I think what you're doing, if you use the ball correctly, you can really make your feet very, very strong. And so, in this study, I think it took about 2 weeks before there was a significant improvement in their balance. I just don't have the numbers to tell you. So let me do it a different way. This is my third way this morning. One of the most humbling exercises or tests that I know of to determine what's going on and how to fix this is just to have a woman take her shoe and her sock off and stand on her bare foot. If you can stand on your bare foot for 4 minutes, then I'm probably wasting your time. But that's the exercise right there. It's as simple as taking your shoes and your sock off and standing on one foot. The longer that you can stand on your foot, the better your brain function is. I know I'm going backwards in time, but in 1970, if a son and a daughter escorted their aging mother at age 70 to the neurologist and said, "We're concerned about our mother. Cognitively, she doesn't function like she used to. She's not herself. She doesn't remember things. She doesn't seem to know who she is." And so the most classic test of all time that every neurologist would do would be standing on one leg for 30 seconds with your eyes closed. If you can stand on one leg without losing your balance for 30 seconds with your eyes closed, then this is all a waste of your time. You're perfect. But if you keep your eyes open, you need to be able to stand on one foot and maintain your balance for 4 minutes. So you should try that. And that's the easiest way to tell if neurologically and your muscular system and your feet are in good working order. If you can't do that, that means you've got some work to do. And what we're doing is we're trying to heal the brain. Because if you have the buzzing or the ringing in the ear, that means you're dealing with very significant amounts of inflammation. That means your brain is breaking down faster than it's repairing. So what the goal is what can we do to help get you in better working order? So, since you don't eat spinach, you don't eat bok choy, you don't have Swiss chard, you don't eat white potatoes at all, and you don't have any nuts or stevia, then it's probably not calcium oxalate. But you can still look into the semi or the half somersault procedure. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Would you be willing just to report back to me and tell me how long you can stand on one foot as just a very simple diagnostic test? If you can do that for 4 minutes, I'll say, boy, was I wrong. I totally misread that one. But do you think you can do that?
I will try.
Well, why don't you just tell me how your feet feel? Are your feet fabulous?
I'm not standing, but it's okay at this point.
So, how do you feel when you go to bed at night? When you lay down and put your head on the pillow, how does your body feel?
Wonderful.
What does it feel like when you wake up?
Some days better than others, but...
Well, that's not really the question I'm asking, though. How does your body feel when you wake up? Do you feel really refreshed?
Like I'm going to just judge by today, yes. So
okay.
Yesterday.
So what do you think is the issue? Why do you have these problems?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Obviously, No. I'm not asking what you're trying to do. What is your gut instinct? Where do you think the problem's coming from? I mean, because I can't... Here's one thing you don't know about me. I can't read minds. I'm not a mind reader.
Okay, yes.
So do you have a gut instinct as to what the cause of your problem is instead of making me just continually fish for it over and over again?
Yes. I can think something is wrong inside my ears.
Okay. Why?
I couldn't come up with that. I went by elimination.
Okay, do you think you have excessive stress in your life?
Not at this moment. No, okay. Nonetheless.
So why is your body breaking down at a faster rate than it's able to repair?
I think because I had a huge amount of stress in the past.
Okay.
And it's catching up with me.
Do you feel like you just haven't quite recovered from that?
Correct.
See, I think we're in business now. Thank you for telling me that. Now that we know that, why don't we try to create the perfect environment in which your body can heal? So what I told you earlier, what if you went to the website called YouTube and you typed in balancing exercises? I think you'll discover that what I'm telling you is probably pretty close to being spot on. There may be like a whole bunch of stuff I can't remember, but this actually can be healing for you. But if you're trying to help the body to heal and recover, maybe we just need to change the circumstances of your life. Maybe we need to give you like a vacation. As your physician, I recommend you go to the beach in Florida right now and just spend about 3 days on the beach, and you can put your toes in the sand, and we'll see if all this disappears. We'll just remove you from all your daily responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think I'll take it.
All right. See you at the beach.
Yeah.
Okay, no, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, I could tell you that there's excessive inflammation, so some of the most simple things that you could engage in, I would say number one, you could look into consuming saffron. Saffron is a spice that is very good at helping to reduce inflammation. Now, one of the ways that I know the brain's in good working order, if it's not racing, if the mind is racing, spinning out of control, a person's continually processing information 90 miles an hour, I know that's not a good situation. The brain's going to burn out. So there's all sorts of things that you could do. Alkaline ash minerals would be a very good choice. So you have everything from kelp and seaweed. You can consume different forms of natural magnesium. I'm not really a huge fan of magnesium oxide. That's just a chelated metal they've stripped of mine from the earth. But if you get minerals that come from like plant sources, that's really, really, really good. And you've got about a million herbs to choose from. You can choose from saffron or ashwagandha. I think the other day I was reading about an herb called rhodiola. You ever heard of that?
Yes, sir.
They saw very significant changes in how a person could deal with stress within about 2 hours of taking rhodiola. It works so fast. I mean, you could go from maybe not feeling so great, but if your mind is really calm and you tell me, I feel so good emotionally, that's what we're after. Is that kind of the way that you feel? Do you feel really, really good emotionally right now, or do you think, I could actually feel better?
At this point, I'm okay.
Okay. Well, there may not be much I can do to help you then. I'm so sorry. If everything's great, there's not much for me to work with.
don't know. It's not quite like that. So you're saying basically that emotional.
No, I mean, do you feel like that your mind is very calm and focused?
I'm concerned for what's going on, not because I don't know what's going on, but, you know, there's seasons. There's some days there's
Yes. I'm pretty sure that I understand that concept. But I'm just saying overall, if you're really, really pleased with the function of your body, then there's probably not much that I can do.
No, I didn't think you were referring to my body. I thought you talked how I was feeling.
Oh, of course, yes. So, and you, but that's a pretty good way to determine how someone's doing. So, when you lay down at night, your mind's not racing.
No, sir.
Okay.
I'm right to sleep.
Well, then what I want you to do is go to your medical doctor, and say I need some help solving this problem with the buzzing in my ears, and the dizziness, and the imbalance, and let them take care of you.
Well, I'm at the emergency room for 2 days, and they run all kind of tests, and they can figure it out.
So. Okay, you realize you're just now telling me that. You could have started with that. What did they find on your blood test? And I don't want to hear how perfect everything on the blood test was, because I don't believe that.
It was in the emergency room. I just come home yesterday, so I.
Well, did they happen to give your husband copies of your blood test?
No.
So, did you ask for them? Did your husband ask for them?
I just want to get out of there, so I did not.
Okay.
I just got home.
Well, then what do they recommend that you do? What is their plan to help restore your balance?
He couldn't. They test heart. They test everything for heart. Everything for what's it called? MRI, and
that's kind of funny. The heart's probably the last thing I would have thought of, but anyway, that's interesting. They thought it was the heart.
No, I did have chest pain, some impression near my chest when I got a violent episode of the imbalance. I mean, just hit, and I was throwing up. I was feeling
down. You do realize a violent episode, chest pain, ER. You're kind of that's pretty significant. So. I'm not asking any great thing out of you, but I'm just trying to get you to give me some clues. And I think, see, I'm at the total disadvantage. If I was at the ER examining you, I think we could try to figure this out. But this is just a radio program.
Yeah.
Do you realize my name is Dr. Morgan? This is just a radio program. I don't have the advantage of the emergency room. And so, but when you have symptoms as severe as yours, there must be a reason behind it. So, did they actually look at your electrolytes?
They thought that I was low in potassium.
Okay, well, that's a huge, huge, huge deal. That's huge.
And they gave me the electrolytes, and which I do take a lot of the salt.
Can I give you my opinion?
Yes, please.
If your potassium is low, that would be a very powerful clue that your adrenal glands aren't working worth a flip.
Okay.
You with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did they tell you that?
Of course not.
Okay. So the adrenal glands, they produce a hormone called aldosterone. Its job is to keep your electrolytes in balance. If your adrenal glands fail to work efficiently, then that's where you can have potassium drop. But that's a big, big, big deal. I would probably go on to say that the primary electrolyte that keeps your cells in good working order is potassium. To me, that's huge. And so, forgive me for asking you how you feel. What I should have said was, when's the last time you've been to the ER with a violent episode? Then we could have cut to the chase and just got to all that.
Yes.
And so, when you go to a doctor and you explain what your problem is, you probably shouldn't start off with that I feel like everything's great. So if the potassium was low, I would start looking into other ones also, like sodium. In my opinion, I see all the problems when sodium is below 140. And I'm kind of used to talking to people about this. I had a gentleman that walked in and he said, "No one's ever told me this before. I thought the lower the sodium, the better." Well, his is 134, and the guy can barely stand up, and he can barely walk, and he's so imbalanced. When I watched him get out of the chair and walk across the parking lot in my door this week, I thought he's going to fall over. And his sodium levels were like 134. And I'm going, good night. And you know what? Who cares if the ER missed it? We still have a responsibility to get you back to good working order. So I'm going to suggest to you that you probably have some issues that are just not being properly addressed, and you need to get together with someone. So if the emergency room is where you want to go, you can do that. But I don't think they're going to do much to address it, really, other than what can we do to patch you up and get you out the door again?
Well, the only reason I went, because it was so severe, I was by myself. My husband's out of town. I mean,
oh, no, I don't fault you for going at all. That's fine.
Oh, I didn't.
Did you have somebody drive you there?
Yes.
Well, maybe you could have somebody drive you somewhere else.
Well, at that time, it was the only option.
No. I don't mean then. I mean, no, that's not what I'm criticizing at all. I'm just saying now you can get somebody to drive you to a different doctor to get help.
Yes, now I'm trying to figure it out.
Well,
I didn't think they had the answers. That's why I haven't gone to them.
Well, even if you don't tell me anything else other than your potassium is low, that's a huge, huge... I mean, literally, your labs are a gold mine of information. I mean, they're just rich. It's just that there's a failure to look at them to look for the answers.
Okay. So I can request all the blood work and...
Absolutely, yes. They could take a picture of it on their cell phone and text it to you if they wanted to. Or you could have your person that drove you to the ER, they could go by with you in the car and you could sign a document releasing it so they can grab it or whatever, however they do it.
Okay.
Yeah, you could just ask for it. Pretty simple. I think, and the thing of it is, you're asking good questions. It's just a matter of, can we figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
Here, I've almost got to be a part magician to read your mind to figure it out. That's too hard. It would be so much easier if the labs were just right in front of me. I could say, well, looky there. The potassium's low. No wonder you feel that way. I'd feel that way, too. So, that doesn't happen overnight. This is probably like a long-term issue. And I think at some point, you've got to set your mind that you're going to do what it takes to get back into good working order over a period of time. It's called healing. Maybe that would be my definition of healing. A restoration back to normal function, but I'd say naturally. Because I don't know that a person can heal. I mean, I could look up study after study. I don't know that I can heal a human by giving them more drugs.
I avoid every pill that they gave me.
Well, what pill did they give you?
They wanted to give me pills for nausea, for the dizziness, and for cholesterol, and that I don't...
So you haven't explained to me yet that your cholesterol levels, were they elevated?
No.
Then why did they give you a pill for cholesterol then?
They wanted to, it's to prevent because of possibly of chest pains or whatever.
What if you just had like a severe panic attack because you were low in potassium?
Could be. I don't know, but I've been eating properly.
I think that you've got to come to reality at some point. So when you get together with your doctor, say, this is what I'm struggling with. And sometimes you just have to, address what's going on, because in your mind, you're thinking, I ate a banana today, therefore I can't be low in potassium. I don't know that I would agree with any of that. Because literally, you could have so much stress internally, it could be depleting you so quickly and so fast that it's going to catch you at some point. It sounds like it has with you.
Yeah. I think what has made most sense at this point, as you said, is the adrenals not working or assimilating properly my minerals or using it up.
Well, so. Yeah, and that's like about three or four different angles right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do is we need to identify which system in your body needs the most help. But you know what the three universal healers are? Time, patience, and consistency. So whatever you do, if you want to rebuild and repair your body, it's almost like that article that I just read on the radio about runners or athletes that had damaged Achilles tendons. They gave them 6 months. because it takes a long time to heal. The adrenals, it may take you a year. I don't know. I really don't know the condition of your body other than what you're telling me, but I think if we had your labs and we really looked at this, there would be a lot of stuff that we would point out and saying, we got to work on this and this and this. And even though in your mind you may respond and say, I had a sweet potato yesterday, therefore I can't be sick, I don't really think that's what I'm going to focus on. I think I'm going to focus on what are your most immediate needs and what's reality here. Because the prize is, if you're in good working order, you can do anything you want, right?
Yeah, let's put this, I probably better give a personal visit with you and bring the labs and such. So, and she's like,
well, do you want to go back to the ER again?
No, sir, you're not listening.
No, I am listening. I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you, do you want to have to go back to the ER a second time?
I never wanted to, and I, of course I would not. My preference.
No, I'm not judging for that. I'm not. I talked to a gentleman this week that's been to the ER four times in like 3 days. So I'm just asking a question. If he doesn't get the results he wants the first time, he goes to a different NR in another ER and another one.
I never would do that myself. I mean, I wasn't.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. Maybe you'll be in such bad working order that you'll have to go to the ER again.
So, I don't understand why you're telling me that, but I will call you.
I'm telling you all these things because I think you have issues that are not being dealt with, and I'm trying to get you to change your thinking. What can I do to help myself?
I think I understand.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your phone call today.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. What else are you supposed to do when there's severe chest pain and it's violent and you can't drive yourself to the ER and you're dizzy and then you say there's nothing that they can figure out even though your potassium is low? I don't think anybody that's listening has to be really that brilliant to figure out that if you type into the computer... Hang on just a second. Where's my phone? Okay, I'm going to look it up right now. All right, if you'll give me just a moment, just indulge me. Okay, symptoms of low potassium. What do you want to guess? Okay. Various symptoms right here, okay? You remember what the lady just said. All I'm doing is I'm finding out what's going on. Muscle weakness. This can affect muscles throughout the body, the arms, the legs, and the diaphragm. Okay, number two on the list is fatigue. Feeling tired and lacking energy. I don't think that most people that go to the ER say, I feel so amazing. Muscle cramps. Involuntary muscle contractions, especially of the heart and the legs and the feet. I jumped the gun. Here's the next one right here. When you're low in potassium, you have heart palpitations. That's either an irregular heartbeat or a pounding heartbeat. Oh, look at this one right here. Nausea and vomiting. Seems like to me that I heard, you know, something about they wanted drugs for nausea. Okay, it says digestive issues that can accompany low potassium. Okay, confusion and irritability, tingling, numbness, weakness in the bladder. Let me look at a different website here. Weakness. Let me see if I can find. Boy, that's got like a million ads in it. I'm not doing that. Anyway, let's go on to topic number two right here. This one is one that I like also. And by the way, the number here is 903-589-8507. I have people sometimes come to see me and they apologize because they bring articles and I'm going, no, no, no. You are a curious man. Thank the good Lord that you want to study and learn. Okay. in this article, and I tried to look, I thought I had a book at my office that had a chapter on this, but I couldn't find it to save my life. I even came up here early so I could look it up because I said, man, I want to know more about this. Or what I really wanted to do is I want to look up studies. And so there was a study that talked about how do you rejuvenate the skin and the hair and the nails. And they were talking about using silica or silicone. Good morning. Whoops. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. Let me try one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, my question has to do with pain in my back. I have ribs that jump out from time to time, and I go to my chiropractor, and he puts me back in shape, and I go for quite a while. But like this morning, yesterday it hit me. I got over that, but it's hit me again this morning. And you're talking about exercises and movement and everything. To be honest, when it hits me like that, I sit in my chair with a heating pad, and then I have a hard rubber ball thing. It has a mm-hmm. rubber on each end. And I press that against my back as hard as I can. And sometimes I can get through the day. And this last time I ended up taking a Tramadol that I have for pain. And I take that when I just simply cannot get to the chiropractor. And I just can't get rid of the pain. So what... Well, your solution.
Okay, the very first article that I worked on this morning was only talking about taking collagen. The form of collagen right. they took was called collagen hydrosylate. The ribs okay. are held in place by ligaments. Okay, so okay. would you prayerfully consider collagen hydrosylate so we can get your rib connections back in good repair?
Absolutely.
Okay, number two. Historically, now this is just my opinion, but if adjustments do not hold, that's probably weak adrenal glands. Because when the adrenal glands are working efficiently and they're stronger, that's when the adjustments hold.
Okay. So how do I get those stronger?
Well, I have not examined you, but historically... you can take adrenal extracts. They actually, you can purchase what are called adrenal protomorphogens, and these are compounds. Usually they come from a calf that's taken to the processing facility, but when you swallow these pills made of calf adrenal extract, they tend to target the healing and the repair of the adrenal glands so they're in better working order. I think I mentioned maybe about 5 minutes ago, there's an herb called rhodiola. So rhodiola sometimes is simply called an adaptogen, but you could probably say the same about ashwagandha. You could probably say the same about Siberian ginseng, as just a couple examples. But when you take an adaptogen, they help strengthen the performance of the adrenal glands where they just work better. And I mean, to me, they're one of the most amazing creations on the planet, because you could take a person that's just kind of used to being run down and weak, and you could start feeding their body these adaptogens or protomorphogens, and all of a sudden the adrenals start rising to the occasion. They start working better.
Okay.
When you went to the ER this week with severe chest pain and it was violent and you were dizzy, did they find your potassium was low?
Now, I'm the second caller.
I know. I'm only joking about that. I'm just trying to be funny. So okay. if you go to your medical doctor and they do a very simple test called a comprehensive metabolic panel, can I tell you what I would look mm-hmm. for on yours? Okay, if your potassium levels are at 4 or below, I would try to think that that might be an adrenal issue. Okay?
Okay.
Meaning the adrenals are weak, or they're sluggish, or they're underperforming. Number next, if your sodium levels are 140 or below, then I would say that's an adrenal issue. So those would be valuable clues to me that maybe the adrenal glands are just not kind of working up to 100% efficiency. See, I wish they had a test that would do that. I mean, we could do what's called your glomerular filtration rate, or your GFR, and it could give me a number of 98, and I'd say, looky there, ma'am, your kidneys are working at 98% efficiency. Or if they do like an echocardiogram on the heart and it says your ejection fraction is 62%, I'd say, that's amazing, that's perfect, that's the way it should be. Or if we checked your oxygen saturation and it was 100%, I'd say, way to go, you got plenty of oxygen. But they don't have a simple test. But I would say the stronger the adrenal glands, the better. I don't think it's even possible to have adrenals that are working too efficiently. I don't think that's possible. So if you look at your comprehensive metabolic panel and your potassium is 4 or below and your sodium is 140 or below, then depending on the issue, I'm going to look at trying to correct that. So if your sodium was low, one of the simplest things that you could do is just consume some natural salt to make them stronger.
Okay, well, I use Celtic salt.
Maybe you would look into one called, and that's good, but maybe you could look into one called Redmond's Sea Salt.
The brand Redman?
Redmond. I think it comes from Redmond, Utah, where there's like a salt mine.
Okay.
I've always had a fantasy of going 13 miles below the earth into the salt mines. I just made that up. It's more like about 1 mile. But I mean, salt is so critical to the performance of the adrenal glands. The number one symptom probably of a sodium deficiency is going to be probably fatigue. But over the years, over the last 35 years, if I want to see a person go whack-a-doodle-doo, start hallucinating, lose their balance and get dizzy, that would be sodium right there. Sodium deficiency.
Okay.
I could literally have a person low in sodium and say, Dr. Morgan, look at that. There's three angels in the corner of the room right now telling me it's time to come home. I'm going, that person's low in sodium. or not. But sodium is so critical. I mean, I think it's been so vilified. It's just wrong. The body requires sodium if you want to make energy.
Okay. Well, so to be real practical, what can I do today?
You can get some Redmond.
Get
you
out of this pain.
Okay, what you can do is you can put some fresh lemon juice on the pain. Once it dries into the skin, you could apply castor oil. You could go outside and sunbathe. Let me check my thermometer real quick. It's only 33 right now. I'm looking at it. Is that a problem?
Mm-hmm.
The more that you walk, the better. And you could actually, the number one activity to make that pain go away is a exercise called a dead hang. I don't know if you could do that, but, you know, you're pretty clever, I think. You could probably figure it out. Or you could start doing, you could go to YouTube and type in, what are the exercises for severe back pain in the middle part of my back?
Well, it's on the side, and it's a rib coming out. It's what the
well, and
what
that's
what
that's
told.
Why that's why I'm saying, could you start taking collagen hydrosylate?
Yeah, when okay. I can get to the store to get it.
There you go. So you can take that, and the next thing that I thought of is if the ribs are continually coming out, even though I did not explain this thoroughly, I really want to help you. So if the ribs keep going out, that makes me think the adrenal glands are weak, and that's why I cover that information. Sometimes okay. I'm not always as clear as I don't communicate as well as I'd like to. But I hope those things help.
Yeah, you did say that in the beginning, but then when you went on to potassium and other things, I kind of lost that So the bottom line is strengthen my adrenaline glands.
Well,
is that the bottom line?
Well, ma'am, I don't know one thing about you. I'm so sorry. I don't. I don't have your labs in front of me where I can determine. I haven't examined you. But those are things that are good. That's why I mentioned them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
I
we're past time. Sorry. Can you call next week?
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sure.